2 Timothy 4. Just give you a little thought, and some of this has been on my heart. Well, a couple months back, and I've kind of moved on to some other things, but let me share this with you here for just a minute. Just a thought, kind of go along with the theme of all the testimonies and what the Lord has done for us. We do have a God who has been faithful to us, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I know that He's faithful through the Scriptures and how He has revealed Himself on the pages of Holy Writ in the lives of saints of God of yesteryears. Men like Noah, men like Enoch, men like Abel, Abraham, and on we could go, how God was faithful in their lives. The story of Abraham really is the story of God's faithfulness to a man who belonged to God. And the story of Noah, we call it the story of Noah and the ark. Really, it's not as much about Noah and an ark as it is about God being faithful. And so throughout the pages of the Word of God, it is a testimony and a history of the faithfulness of God in the lives of mankind, especially those that belong to the Lord. One such, I think, that is obvious is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, of course, had been converted on that road to Damascus, having been convicted at the stoning of Stephen, and how that worked its way into the heart and the life and mind of a young man by the name of Saul, a zealot of sorts, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a man who gave his life in the early years of it to the religion of Judaism and to the persecution and suffering of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some believe that the young man Saul, as he was given those papers to go about persecuting the Church of Christ, that he had even been involved in likely the martyrdom of some of those old saints of God. And yet the Lord reached down and caused the light to come on in his life one day, and he saved him. And by grace, Saul is saved and converted. And of course, we know his story. Later, his name is changed to Paul. We know him as the Apostle Paul. And what a mighty Christian Paul became. But really the story of all of Paul's missionary journeys and even his conversion and all that he went through, really, it's not about Paul, it's about the faithfulness of God in Paul's life. And you have a story that is being written, you have a story that is being lived out in your life, and I have a story being lived out in my life. And certainly there's a side of a testimony to that, a name that is attached with that. But really at the end of the day, you know what my story really is all about? It is about the faithfulness of God in my life. My life is a reflection of God's faithfulness in my life. You look in my life, you'll find times where I've not been faithful to God. I've not always known God. Not always been saved. There was a time I lived my life away from God, but God was faithful even when I didn't know God. He was faithful to come speak to me one day and deal with me and draw me to Himself. And I can say about those years of my life, God has been faithful. Amen. Now, since I've been saved, I ain't always been faithful. There's been some failures that I've had along the way, things I've done I shouldn't have done, things I should have done I didn't do, and there's been days that my life has not been lived as on fire for God as it should. I've not always prayed like I should, not always read my Bible like I should. I've not always been the light and a testimony and a voice and a witness for God as it should be. But this much I can say, even through those times of being unfaithful, that God has been faithful to me. Now, when we come to the book of 2 Timothy, we understand Paul is ending. He's getting ready to come down to the ending of his life. In fact, in chapter number 4, Paul understands that and makes a statement to young Timothy and said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's saying, "Timothy, I don't have much time left. Timothy, I don't have a lot of days left. It may even be down to hours or minutes that I have left, and they're going to come jerk me out of this prison house. They're going to behead me for the sake of the gospel. But Timothy, understand this, I am now ready to be offered. I have some days that maybe I have regrets, but at this point in time in my life, I'm looking back, and here's what Paul says of the overall testimony of his life and service and ministry. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." And so again, the thought is simply this, Sam, is that Paul understands, I'm down to the last few days, the last few moments of my life. It's all come down to this, and I can look back and say that I have fought a good fight and I have kept the faith. In other words, Paul is saying, amen, here at the end, I believe that I've been faithful to the cause for which Christ saved me. Now, here's my thought, is that in light of that, some would say, well, Paul was ready and Paul had kept the faith. That must mean that everything went well in Paul's life. We know that's not true. He's sitting in a Roman prison. He's under Roman shackles and confinement, awaiting to be martyred, awaiting execution for the simple fact that he has preached the gospel and that he has claimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he won't bow his knee to Rome and he won't compromise to those that are calling upon him to give a little, amen, so that his life can be spared. Everything has not gone well in his life. It's not going well in his life. It had not gone well in his life. We understand that from chapter number 3 when he writes to Timothy and said, "But thou hast fully known," verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, "thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." And listen, verse 11, listen what he lists, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And so the idea is everything has not been easy in Paul's life. In fact, beyond the persecutions and afflictions, we know that Paul has just been through the storm Euroclydon, in which the ship was destroyed, and yet the Lord was faithful to Paul through the storm and spared Paul and spared his shipmasters and spared the other prisoners. And even on the island of Melita, when the snake had fastened itself to Paul's hand, Paul, my friend, shook it off into the fire, and the Lord spared Paul's life. He's been persecuted, afflicted, shipwrecked, snake bit. And beyond that, when you come into chapter number 5, Paul begins to deal with those that have forsaken him and how Paul has felt a sense of abandonment, and Paul senses that he's been done wrong and others have been drawn into that. Demas had forsaken me, said. He speaks of Crescens and Titus and the fact that only Luke is with me, verse 11, and how that Alexander the coppersmith had done him much evil in verse number 14, and how that all that Alexander has said, he has led away a following against Paul. My thought is this, Paul, having been faithful in the end of his life, was not the result of everything being easy in his life. was not the result of him not having bad days. It was not the result of great lasting friendships and having never been done evil and not ever having had anything bad said about him. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'd be faithful if everybody treat me good. Well, then you won't be faithful. So I would be faithful and I would be counted to be ready to be offered. If everything was easy in my life, well, then you won't be. Paul understands this. In light of all the persecutions, in spite of all the afflictions, in spite of all the beatings and the stonings and the abandonments and the shipwrecks and the snake bites and all the lies that have been told and all the folk that have walked off, Paul understands this. Look with me in verse number 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In other words, the reason I can say that I have kept the faith and that I'm now ready to be offered and that I, in understanding the time of my departure is at hand, and that I can face the ending of my life with joy, ready to meet God, being faithful, is that God has been faithful to me. Others have left, but notwithstanding the Lord stood by me. Others left me for dead and persecution and stoning it. And yet the Lord stood with me. And through the shipwreck, it seemed like that we not make it, and we may have barely seemed like barely made it to land. Some having swam, and others had made it by way of broken pieces of the ship. Amen. But Paul could say in the midst of the storm, amen, be not afraid, fear not. Amen. I have prayed, and the Lord has stood by me this night and has given me a word. And Paul, thinking back, amen, to all that he has gone through getting ready to end his life, amen, is able to say, I have been faithful because God has been faithful to me. Notwithstanding the Lord, he was faithful to stand by me. I'm thankful the Lord in the times of our life where it seems like it's nothing but shadows, he stands with his own. Amen. When it feels like no one's there to stand with you, stand on because you're standing in good company. Amen. The Lord stood with me and then he said, and strengthened me. The Lord is not only faithful to stand with Paul, but he was faithful to strengthen Paul. And you say, preacher, did Paul ever get weak? Evidently, Brother Larry, he did, because he said that he needed God to be faithful, and God was faithful in his life, Brother Mark, to bring strength and strengthen him by grace and strengthen him by mercy and strengthen it in the purpose for which Paul was to live his life. And so Paul was not able to say, I'm now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is in hand and I have fought a good fight and I've finished my course and I've kept the faith. He's not able to bow his chest out, amen, saying that. Oh no, he in humility says that, understanding it is the Lord that has strengthened him in some of his weakest days and weakest nights. And it is the Lord that has sovereignly give him strength to continue to serve God. God's faithfulness to strengthen Paul enabled Paul to be faithful. I don't know if this is making any sense. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. Now notice what he said in the end of verse 17 and end of verse number 18. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And I mean, I didn't have an outline, but it's all kind of coming together. Amen. The Holy Ghost gave us the first two. The Lord is faithful to stand with Paul. He was faithful to strengthen Paul. But amen, write it down this way. He was faithful to shelter Paul. What he said is, the old land, that you say, who is the land? Amen. I believe the mouth of the land that he's referencing there is none other than Satan himself. And the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. No doubt would have loved to have destroyed the Apostle Paul. No doubt he would have loved to have sunk his teeth in to that mighty man of God, that mighty Christian that had one delivered out of such the devilish religion that had become so, amen, filled with pride of Judaism that had God and rescued Saul out of that and turned him into Paul and made him a mighty preacher and a mighty child of God. And Paul said, there's been some days it seemed like I could sense the very breath of the great adversary breathing down my neck, whispering in my ear, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And Paul said, it was the Lord who was faithful that hour to deliver me out of the mouth of the lion. He sheltered me from the adversary. May I say to you that, amen, the Lord may, amen, have the devil consider your life as he did. Amen, the great servant Job, when he said to the devil, "Hast thou not considered my servant Job?" And the devil said, I've considered him, but you've got such a hedge wrapped around his life and I can't get to him. And he's only serving you because you've been good to him. And then the Lord counted Job to be such a child of God that he knew he would respond to the faithfulness of God in a right way, that yes, he unleashed the devil upon Job's leg and he let Satan breathe down Job's neck. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord, even in that, still sheltered Job and got him to chapter 42 and preserved his life. And my friend, delivered him from every evil work of the devil. You say, preacher, I feel like at the very hounds of hell are troubling my soul. I feel like that even the very devil himself is about to destroy me and to bring me down. Amen. And I would remind you tonight and this afternoon that the Lord is faithful to shelter his soul, and the devil cannot do anything to you and me that the Lord does not permit him to do to your life. And the Lord is faithful to shelter you and I from every evil work. He is the one faithful to preserve us. And you say, but preacher, I know that he has. And preacher, I just don't know what tomorrow holds. But that's the good thing the Apostle Paul reminds us of. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. In other words, Brother Ronnie, he not only has delivered me and shall deliver me in the present time, he's going to continue to shelter me till the day that he calls me home. Amen. And so Paul could say, I've kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. I fought the fight. I've been sent to fight, and I fought a good fight. Paul, are you bragging on yourself how faithful you've been? Oh, no. I'm only able to say that because God has been faithful to me. In light of that, he simply said, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brother Mo, we ought to give him glory today for his faithfulness in our life. It's time in these last days we quit making excuses for ourselves over why we ain't living for God like we ought to live. You listen, the time of our departure, I believe with all my heart. The time of our departure, I believe with all my heart. But John, I believe it's at hand. I believe the Lord's coming back any time. Amen. And I understand we go through hardships. I understand we go through difficulties. I in no way am making light of anything that anybody here or anybody listening on live stream, I'm not making light of anything that we face. I face things too. And it's hard. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Can I say today, if anything ought to be got out of this service, it is this thought. And I believe they sung that song in the will of God. This ain't what I intended to preach. It's kind of what the Lord was taking me through as the choir was singing and folk was testifying. Is that we better anchor ourselves in the faithfulness of God. Don't listen to what the devil's whispering in your ear. It gets y'all turned around sideways thinking you ain't going to make it, but you are going to make it. How do you know that? Because He done said He's going to preserve us to His heavenly kingdom. And so shout in the face of your enemy. Shout in the face of your hardship. Amen. Lift your hand. I'm not saying you won't have a tear of hurt and a tear of heartache. Amen. Rolling down your cheek while you do it. But lift your hands today, child of God. And give Him glory now. And give Him glory tomorrow. And give Him glory forever and ever. He is worthy to be praised. And Paul said, the only thing we can say to this truth, amen, in spite of all that I went through, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me, and the Lord sheltered me, and delivered me from the mouth of the lion, and shall preserve me, and deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me at the last breath I breathe when I leave this world and step into the eternity. And I know that God has been faithful, and so somebody give Him the glory He deserves. Give Him glory today. Has God been faithful to you? Amen. And sometimes, I'm not belittling, sometimes we give more credence and more thought and more attention to all the bumps and bruises and hurts and pains and griefs than we do the faithfulness of God during those times. And I'm just calling on all of us today, myself included. Amen. You know what? A spark of a fire of faithfulness in every one of us. Think about how faithful God has been to us. Give Him glory today. Say amen to the fact that God has been faithful. We're going to stand. That's it. That's all I got this morning. How you like that? Amen. Ain't got to preach that. Ain't got to preach an hour on that to get a hold of that. God's been faithful. Yep. Won't we give Him some glory today? Some have testified publicly, and there may be others do that before we get out of here today. I tell you what I think all of us ought to be on the altar today saying, Lord, I want to give You glory. Just You and me. Ain't about making a show. It's just my heart of gratitude lifted to You to give You glory. Thank You. Thank You for being faithful. Amen. Amen.